encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 23. If you'd like to follow along in one of the chair Bibles, we'll be on page 1217 this morning. And as you're turning to Luke chapter 23, page 1217, you'll notice that on the service slide for the lesson this morning, it said to be determined, and you were probably looking at that thinking, well, I guess Jason hasn't decided what he's going to talk about yet, and if that's what you thought, then you were right. That's why the lesson is called to be determined. So when we plot out the theme, I sort of sketch out, you know, the lessons that I want to do during the course of the year. And as we've come to the end of the year, I've just got a handful of lessons that I haven't done yet that I would like to do, that I've just wrestled with all week over which one of them that I would do. And so the difficulty that I'm having this morning is within the context of, Lord willing, this will be our family's last service with all of you here at Annandale. Our holiday plans are to leave this week and spend the week in Alabama with family. Maybe your plans are like this lesson. They're still to be determined. We have a number of our folks who have decided what they're going to do, and they've already left us. So we've got a number of our folks who will be leaving today to be traveling to other places. And so when I sketch out the lessons that I'm going to do for the year, for the month, sometimes I put to be determined on the calendar that I use. And so, I put to be determined in the Google machine just to see what it would tell me about the meaning of it. And the first definition that came up, TBD, to be determined, the definition of this is it's a matter that hasn't been decided yet. It refers to something that is yet unknown. And so when I was telling Amberly I was going to preach a lesson called To Be Determined, I was going to get up and I was going to say, you know, I still haven't decided what I was going to talk about. She said, I don't think you should do that because that'll be a lie. And she was right up to the point that I decided what I was going to talk about. And so what I decided I was going to talk about is to be determined. And I was going to talk about to be determined in the context of our theme. This is the last lesson, and we're wrapping it up as far as my work goes this year with you and your work with me together. And so as we think about our theme for 2021, draw near to God with a sincere heart, that really is to be determined in your life and in mine. It's to be determined whether or not you will heed the call of Hebrews 10:22, which has been the verse that we drew our theme from. Let us, so collectively as the Annandale Church, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Whether you will continue to draw near or whether you will drift away, that really is to be determined in your life. Whether or not you will turn to God and turn away from sin, it's to be determined. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, we have the best definition of repentance in all of the Bible. The Thessalonians had turned to God. They had turned away from sin to God. And so it's to be determined in your life whether or not you will repent of those things that create distance between you and God, whether or not you will repent of the sin that so easily ensnares you, the sin that separates you from God, that creates distance, that makes it impossible for you to draw near to the God who is holy, holy, holy. And so it's to be determined whether or not you will understand that drawing near to God is just a matter of obedience. So in James, the fourth chapter, we are commanded to resist the devil. And we are told that if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. But if we draw near to God, that he'll draw near to us. So drawing near to God, it's just a matter of obedience. And it's just to be determined in your life whether or not you will be obedient or whether or not you will be disobedient. And it's to be determined whether or not you will personally understand that drawing near to God is not a matter of God's willingness. It is God's will to draw near to you. In Acts 17, He wanted the Athenians who didn't know Him, who didn't know anything about Him, who didn't know anything about His nature, His character, His will for their lives. He wanted them to know that He wasn't far from them, and that through Jesus that they had the glorious opportunity to draw near to the God that they worshipped, as they worshipped the unknown God that Paul spoke to them about in Acts 17. It's to be determined in your life whether you will continue to walk with the Lord or whether you will walk away from Him. And so in John 6, verse 66, we read about people who had been walking with the Lord, and the Lord started saying some hard sayings. And when the going got tough, these particular individuals, they didn't get going. They walked away. And they walked with Him no more. They turned away. They left Him. And so whether or not you will continue to walk with the Lord or whether or not you will walk away, that is still to be determined. If you are a member of the Annandale Church and you're on the Member News email mailing list, then you got an email from me this week asking you to think about this question. If you could hear Jesus say one thing to you that He said to someone in the Gospels, what would it be? And I hope you gave some thought to that. If you didn't get that email and you haven't had the opportunity to think about this, I'm going to give you a moment to think about it. And I want to encourage you, if you look at the Pew Bible, that there are a number of red letters on these two pages. And of course, not every copy of the New Testament is a red letter edition, but the red letter editions of the New Testament are communicating to us that the words in red are words that Jesus spoke. And so I would encourage you to do this little exercise. I would encourage you to take a red letter copy of the New Testament and just read the red letters. Just listen to the voice of Jesus. It'll take you longer to read the Gospel of John than it will take you to read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Some of the chapters in John are all red letters. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you've got information that the Spirit gives us to put what Jesus is saying into its context, but those words are fewer and farer in between in the Gospel of John than they are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If you could hear Jesus say one thing to you that He said to someone in the Gospels, what would it be? There's not a right or a wrong answer to this. I think that the answer to the question is probably different at different times in your life, wherever you are in your life this morning. And I want to let you in on a little secret. That's one of the reasons why when I sketch out the lessons that I'm going to preach, that there's a lot of holes and there's a lot of gaps and there's a lot of places where I put to be determined. And it's because not every lesson is as meaningful to everybody, depending upon, you know, your gender, your age, right? Where you are in your life, the things that are happening to you, different lessons are going to hit you differently, depending upon where you are in your life. So there's not a right or wrong answer to this question. But I'm going to tell you what the right answer is this morning. And the right answer this morning is in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. If you could hear Jesus say one thing to you that He said to someone in the Gospels, what would it be? I chose to talk about this morning because in my lesson last week, I was talking about the importance of drawing near to God today. And we took our thoughts from Psalm 90, in which the Spirit through Moses tells us, look, you need to measure your days. You don't need to think about your life in terms of years or decades. You need to learn to measure your days. And the reason that we need to learn to measure our days James chapter 4 is because today is all we've got. And so we are foolish and we are not acting within the context of the wisdom that is from above if we are making plans tomorrow and next week and next year without considering the fact that we are not sovereign over our time on earth, that the Lord is sovereign over time. And so it is our plan to leave this week and to go to Alabama and to visit family in Winfield and Tuscaloosa and Auburn and then to drive back to you and to begin our work together in 2022. But all of that is understood by me and by you and by all of us collectively if the Lord wills. And so if the Lord wills, then that's what we will go and do. But time and chance, Ecclesiastes 8:11, they happen to us all. And there are a lot of things that could happen between now and when we leave. And there's a lot of things that could happen once we leave. And there's a lot of things that could happen once we get where we're going. And there's a lot of things that could happen on the way back. And so it's just imperative that we come to terms with the truth that all we've got is today. Instead of saying what we ought to say is if the Lord wills, then here's what we'll do today. And so last week I said I'm going to circle back at the end of the lesson to my favorite use of the word today by Jesus, and I didn't do that. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll talk about it this week. And then I thought about this question. If you could hear Jesus say one thing to you that He said to someone in the Gospels, what would it be? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Who did He say that to? Luke 23, beginning in verse 32. There were two other criminals that were led with Jesus to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And the first of the seven statements of Jesus from the cross in Luke 23:34 is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided His garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked Him, coming and offering Him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Matthew's Gospel tells us that both criminals reviled Him. Luke's Gospel tells us that one of the criminals who hanged, blasphemed Him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked Him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then He said to Jesus in verse 42, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This particular today was this last man's today. We know very little about this man. We don't know his name. We don't know how old he was. We don't know whether he was a Jew or a Gentile. We don't know what he did for a living. All we know about him is that he was a robber. He was a thief. And what was happening to him on this day was justice. He was getting what he deserved. And at the beginning of this thing, according to Matthew's Gospel, he was participating in this apparently fun activity of making fun of Jesus. And you can understand, if you view it from a carnal, natural, sinful sort of perspective, why it was fun for the people who were saying those things to Jesus. They believed he was a blasphemer. They believed that he was worthy of the death that he was receiving. And when they considered everything that he said about himself, they mocked him. They were talking trash to him. And he had said some hard things to them over the course of that last week. Some things that they couldn't answer. I mean, they're walking away from him because they can't answer the things that he is saying to them. And so they conspire and they plot, and now he's getting what he deserves, and everybody is participating in this ugly business of making fun of him, including the robber and the thief, who has a change of heart during these 6 hours. And so over the course of time, as this thief is considering what is happening to him and what is happening to Jesus and how Jesus is reacting to it, Jesus' demeanor, Jesus' speech, when the other criminal blasphemes Jesus and says to him, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us," the other one, answering the other criminal, rebukes him and says, "Do you not even fear God? You know you're dying too." Yes, Jesus is dying, and no, he's not saving himself, but I'm over here on his right or on his left. You're over there either on his right or on his left, and you're dying too. We are all dying. And what then? None of us knows what comes next. We are about to enter into the great unknown. Do you not even fear God, since you are dying too? And oh, by the way, verse 41, this is happening to us because we deserve it. You know who you are. I know who I am. I know how I got here today. May I say to you this morning that every decision that you have ever made in your life, every choice that you have ever made, it has led you to this point right here, right now. Verse 41, this man has done nothing wrong. You know, at the same time that all those people were blaspheming Jesus and mocking him, there was another group of people. And that other group of people were saying the same thing that Pilate said. This man hasn't done anything wrong. This man is innocent. Pilate just pleading with the people who wanted to put Jesus to death. Let me just beat him within an inch of his life. Which is what scourging was. And point of fact, a lot of people died from the scourging. A lot of people never even made it to a cross because of the severity of it. And so he says, let me just beat him within an inch of his life and let that be sufficient for you. This man is innocent. He has done nothing wrong. And so this thief on the cross, he has this change of mind as a result of the opportunity that he had on his last day, not only to see Jesus, but to hear Jesus speak. And not only to see Jesus and to hear Jesus speak, but to speak to Jesus and to have the opportunity of Jesus to speak back to him. And so in verse 42, notice how he addresses Jesus. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord." A lot of different words he could have used to address Jesus. The one he chose was the word Lord. I would encourage you to come to terms with that term. Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. I don't know everything that was going on in this thief's mind, in his heart. But I know what he said, and I know what those words mean, and I know what they communicate. And if he meant what he said, then he recognized that this innocent man was more than just an innocent man who was dying an unjustly dead between him and another man who deserved what they were getting. He addresses them as Lord, and then he communicates in verse 42 that he believes, despite what he has a front row seat to witness. He is hurting too. He is dying on a cross too. He sees the sign that they put above Jesus' head. This is the King of the Jews. He is seeing this same event that looks as if God has forsaken and abandoned and turned His face away from Jesus, and that Jesus is receiving the just due for His sin because He blasphemed God. It looks like Jesus is a curse. And that He is accursed. It doesn't look like the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is winning. It looks like He is dying. And it looks like He is dying because He is dying. But what does He say to him? He says, when you come into your kingdom, what do you believe about Jesus this morning? And if today were your last day, what would you say to Him? This is what this man said. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And here's how Jesus responded to him. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. There are a lot of things that we could think about in all of this. But I do want us to consider how the image of it just gives us plenty to ponder. Some of us, Wednesday night, we're talking about how Mary pondered some things in her heart and how in our culture we're not cultivating that type of spirit where we take information that we are given from God and we hide it in our heart and we ponder it and we meditate upon it. There are some things that when we look at the image of the three crosses that we need to ponder. And so Jesus is in the center. And who is He? He's the sacrificial Lamb of God who's dying for the sins of the world, past and future. And on either side of Him are sinful men. And one of these men is going to be saved by Jesus while they're hanging there. The other man is going to die in his sins. And so what does the cross of Jesus do? It divides the world into two groups. Those who will be saved by Him and those who will perish. Those who will go into eternal life and those who will go into eternal punishment. Those who will go into the paradise of God and those who go into torment. Amen. What do we learn about this thief who hung on this cross, who communicated faith in the person of Jesus? We learn a number of things, beloved, but I would encourage you to think about this morning as we conclude our 2021 together. It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Amen.
I don't know what you did with this year. Greg and Tony and Wade and Aaron and I worked hard last year to put together a theme for the year that would be a blessing to you. Wade and Aaron spent hours putting together the reading program so that we could read the Old Testament together and come together and talk about those readings and encourage us to draw near with a sincere heart. What did you do with the year? Did you attend the services? Did you do the readings? Did you increase your faith? Did you draw near to God and draw near to your brothers and sisters in Christ? Did you come for the purpose of encouraging other people? Did you build anybody up this year? Did you encourage anybody? Did you grow in your understanding of God and His willingness and longing to draw near to you? Or what did you do with the year? When you look back on the year, how do you feel about it? Got any regrets, or do you feel like you took advantage of all the opportunities that the Annandale Church sought to provide you so that individually you could grow in your nearness to God and in your turning away from sin and to Him and your walk with Him, your individual walk with Him? This man wasted his life. He was, as Sheba was, a worthless person, and he was getting what he deserved on that cross. And by God's grace, he had the opportunity to see Jesus. He literally saw Him. And over the course of that time that he spent with Jesus, he had a change of heart about Him. He repented of his blasphemy and his reviling. And he rebuked the other one that was blaspheming and reviling Jesus. And he turned his attention to Jesus and he addressed Him as Lord. He didn't address Him as buddy. He didn't say, "Hey man." He addressed Him as Lord. And he communicated that he had some understanding of who this Lord Jesus is. "Please, I beg of thee, remember me when you come into your kingdom." If you can hear Jesus say one thing to you today, what would it be? I submit to you that you could not improve upon, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Have you wasted your life? I got some good news for you this morning. Your life isn't over. What this man experienced literally, you can experience that spiritually this morning. Jesus, because of who He is, He had the power on earth to forgive sins. So what did He do for this man? On this particular today, He forgave his sins. And so Jesus is not here today. We can wish that He were. I mean, I read that account where David inquired of the Lord and he said, "Why is there a famine?" And the Lord responded to him. And he said, I'll tell you why there's a famine. I would love to have that type of relationship with the true and living God this morning. But that's not how he deals with us in December of 2021. And so Jesus is not here to literally say to you, "Your sins are forgiven." And so we must, as the thief on the cross, we must respond in faith. And so responding in faith to Jesus is considering what He has said to us that is applicable to us today. And what He said to the apostles after He ascended to the right hand of the throne of God is, "I want you to go and I want you to preach the gospel to everybody, and whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved."
And so what we read in the book of Acts, after we finish the Gospels, is that that's precisely what the apostles did from Acts 2 to Acts 28. They preached Christ and Him crucified. They preached confession. They preached repentance. And the confession and the repentance was based upon the faith that a person had in Jesus Himself. And once a person came to be convicted in their mind and they were ready to trust from their heart and confess with the mouth, then they were baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Well, what is the connection between the three crosses, the death of Jesus, Jesus dividing humanity into two groups, the thief who was saved and the thief who was lost? What is the connection to all of that and baptism? The Apostle Paul would say to the Galatians in Galatians 2:20, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the way that I know that this is so is because I've been crucified with Christ." This man was literally crucified with Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do that. He can have that. I mean, he got to have a great conversation with Jesus, and he got to hear Jesus say something to him really special, but I don't want to die that way. And we've not been called to die that way. We have been called to die spiritually. And that is the point of the commentary of the Holy Spirit concerning baptism in Romans the 6th chapter. For those of us who believe, and those of us who respond to the voice of Jesus and obey His gospel, we are to understand that we are dying with Christ. Just as He died and was buried and rose again in baptism, we die to sin, we are buried with Christ, and we rise to walk in newness of life. Someone says, "I want to be saved like the thief on the cross." Well, if anybody is saved, they're going to be the saved like the thief on the cross was saved. And if anybody was saved, if anybody in any time, in any place, in any era, if anybody finds themselves hearing Jesus say, "Your sins are forgiven," it is going to be by grace through faith. Amen. From the beginning until the end. How does God save His people? By grace through faith. Do you have enough faith in Jesus this morning to believe what He wants you to do in order for your sins to be forgiven by His grace? That's what it all comes down to. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." If you could hear Jesus say one thing to you that He said to someone in the Gospels, what would it be? There's no right or wrong answer to that, but I want to encourage you to think about this within the context of our theme, and as we bring our theme to a close this year. Jesus said to this person, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And the fact of the matter is, you're going to have a last day. I mean, the one advantage this man had over us is he knew when his time was going to be up. He's running out of it. So are you. Whether you know it or not, you are running out of it. And today might very well be your last day. There was a Wednesday night in which we pulled out of the parking lot onto Ravensworth Road, and it was after the time change because it was dark. And if I had seen it, I wouldn't have turned left. But a motorcycle came out of nowhere. He wasn't none too happy with me turning left onto Ravensworth out of our parking lot. He road raged us for several miles down Braddock Road. It was very unnerving, to the point of, you know, Abby Grace would say, "Maybe we all just go ahead and call 911, right?" As she's sitting in the back seat and he's just right up on us. And I want to tell you something about people around here. They're crazy. And a lot of them are godless. And a lot of them are worthless. none of us have the promise of tomorrow. When your last day comes, what are you going to hear Jesus say to you? I haven't heard His voice yet. I'm sure looking forward to hearing it. I don't know what it's going to sound like. But it'll either be the sweetest sound I've ever heard, or it'll be this: I never knew you. Depart from me. When your life ends, and it will, what will you hear Jesus say? We're going to stand together and we're going to sing in just a moment, number 319. By way of encouragement, as an invitation song, not to join the Annandale Church, but to accept the invitation of Jesus, which is simply, come to me. And that is what every one of us who are in a position to hear Jesus say, today you will be with me in paradise. That's what every one of us have done. We have taken that first step. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what repentance looks like? It looks like taking a step toward Jesus. It looks like taking a step away from sin toward Jesus. Repentance looks like, I said some things about Jesus that weren't true, and now I know better, and so now I'm addressing Him as Lord. And as I address Him as Lord, I'm asking Him in full assurance of faith to remember me. To remember me when He comes into His kingdom. And that is the final act of our redemption. In 1 Corinthians 15, on the last day, on the resurrection day, what Jesus is going to do is He's going to deliver the kingdom to the Father. And the kingdom, by definition, are the people who have accepted the rule and have entered the realm spiritually, who are literally going to be where He is when He delivers the kingdom to the Father. And so, you need to hear the voice of Jesus by faith. And you need to hear Him say personally to you, because He knows you inside and out, because He created you, He sustains you, and because of His great love for you, He has redeemed you by His blood. You need to hear Him say to you by faith, come to me. And you need to take that first step. I want to tell you something about that first step. It's the hardest one. You won't take another step that's harder than that first one, because you're dead in your sins and trespasses. And to leave sin that so easily ensnares you, that brings you into bondage, that's hard to do. That's why people end up wasting their lives and dying on crosses, getting what they deserve. Because repentance is hard. And it's the challenge of the gospel to turn from whatever it is that separates you from Him and to turn to Him. And so if you haven't made that first step this morning, then here's what you need to think about. You need to think about that Jesus is going to say one of two things to you. He's either going to tell you that I don't know you, depart from me, or He's going to say to you on that last day the same thing that He said to this man, that he saved by grace through faith in time. Today, today, you will be with me in paradise. If we can help you to obey the gospel, the baptistry is ready. We have changes of clothes. We can do it right here, right now. If you're a Christian and you have wasted your life in Christ this year, and you have drifted away from God, you have turned away from God, you're not walking with Jesus, We've not been called to be baptized and baptized and rebaptized and baptized over and over again. But what we have been called to do is to confess our sins to one another so that we can pray for one another and encourage one another. And I'm not saying to you that you have to do that in the context of this assembly. But you may need to do that this morning. And it may be that until you do that, you're not going to have this hope. You're going to rob yourself of this hope. At the end of the day, the only thing that is going to keep us from hearing Jesus say this to us is us. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus except your selfishness and your sin and your desire to have the forbidden fruit, whatever form that it comes in. Jesus wants to take all that away. And He will. If in full assurance of faith, you take a step toward Him. While we stand and while we sing, we encourage you to come to Him.